for April 6th, 2026. 26. And shall we have roll call, please?
Alcalinde, Banacuya, India.
Here.
City of Blythe.
Here.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs. City of Indian Wells.
Here.
City of Indio.
Here.
City of La Quinta.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs.
Here.
City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
Torres Martinez, Desert Cahuilla, Indians. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. And we'll now have the Pledge of Allegiance led by the Honorable Kathleen Fitzpatrick.
Please place your hand on your heart and repeat with me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice
for all.
With. And mind your promise. Are there any agenda modifications?
There are not.
Okie doke. And what it says conflict of interest disclosure. Exactly what does that mean? Do we need to just make sure everybody's attentive to it and knows what it is? Good. All right. Are there any public comments on any agenda items?
No, Chair, we did not receive any.
You said no?
No.
Okay, thank you. And Chair and Executive Director announcements. Is that you?
Yes. Good morning, all. Tom sends his regards. He's recovering from a cough and thought you wouldn't want it, so he stayed home. Sure, I know. I appreciate that. And so, but I do know he was sorry to miss today. We hope he's better, though, for Wednesday's RCTC meeting. Riverside County Transportation Commission will be in the desert for this month's meeting. In the chair's hometown, Cathedral City, and both Tom and John will be providing an update on cash flow to update you all have seen a few times, but will be presented to the full commission along with an update from Sunline at that meeting. So that meeting is on Wednesday. And then the only other thing I did want to highlight is that since you last met, the California Transportation Commission also met and approved STIP funding for CV Sync in Ranch Mirage, which is phase four. That's $6 million that they have programmed, which is something that had come before you before, but they did endorse that as part of their STIP allocations in March. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. So we will move now to the consent calendar. Is there anyone that would like to pull anything from consent? See no one. I'll entertain a motion.
Move consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call vote or can we just?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Joey?
Yes.
We have one abstention, Rancho Mirage. Any other abstentions or opposition?
Okay. On the whole consent calendar or just the minutes?
Just the minutes.
Thank you. So an abstention on the minutes from Rancho Mirage. Otherwise, it passes unanimously. Okay, our first discussion item is an update on California Association of Council, or California Council of Governments is what this is. So that's CalCOG. And CBAG is a member. So I'm just going to give you a quick update. This fine trophy was given by CalCOG to CBAG at our last meeting, which was held in Long Beach last month. And I know a lot of people don't know much about CalCOG. And it's an important organization. It represents all the Council of Governments and the MPOs in California. It makes a big difference. It has a loud voice, especially considering it is a small, nimble, ninja-like organization, and it gets things done in Sacramento. It represents, and this is some of the reasons it's so important, it represents 20 COGs, and those COGs are the ones who implement RENA and develop RENA. That's important to all of us. And 18 MPOs, which are responsible for the sustainable communities strategies, also extremely important to CBAG. So our voice there is important. And I think sometimes we don't recognize how important CALCOG is, but we need to keep getting involved, staying involved with them and showing up with them. There's some legislation right now that will impact us. There's a couple of things. There's SB 1087, which is the modernization of SB 375, which is all of the clean air stuff. But it was done in 2009 and it needs to be modernized. It is no longer relevant according to what is happening in the air quality field. And I know our supervisor knows this. We need to change things. We're not getting credit for electric cars when we're dealing with this. We've been out of compliance in the Coachella Valley, and we need to make sure that this is relevant, it is modern, and it makes a difference for today's standards, not for 2009's. The good news is Daryl Steinberg, who was pro tem at the time, who this is his baby, is now enlisted in the modernization of the new version. So it shows that he recognizes something that was very important to him. He recognizes its relevance and how it needs to be part of today rather than, you know, 15, 16 years ago. The other thing, it's AB 2002, which is the codification of REAP, the Regional Early Action Planning Funding. And SCAG is very involved in that. There's the big four metropolitan planning organizations. SCAG is one. We're part of SCAG. It's important, again, that our voice is loud with this stuff. And 2002, what that will do is codify REAP funding. Now, RENA is one of those, as we all like to say, we hear this phrase all the time, an unfunded mandate, and it's exactly what it is. But we need help. It's not that we don't think RENA is important. We know there's a housing crisis. We want to provide housing. We are mandated to do so through the RENA process, and yet there's no funding to help us. REAP will be that funding. The first REAP was it 2019? I have it all in my notes that are not in order.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and it provided us with substantial funds to implement the RENA process. And in fact, here at CBAG, we wound up with $283,000 to help with just creating an affordable housing catalyst fund. And there's a lot in, and I, City of Coachella got objective development standards, $160,000. And these are all funds that help us with infrastructure, be it financial or the actual physical infrastructure. We need this money. So we will be working on this. In fact, I am going to miss RCTC, and I apologize for that because I want to be there. But I instead will be testifying of the importance of the REAP funding. We need it. We need to codify it. And SCAG additionally is asking for $125 million. That is not just for the SCAG region. It's for the entire state. And it's for the seventh cycle for RENA. And so it will cover the entire state, and it's over a few days or a few years. But we definitely need this funding if we're going to make RENA important and a real thing. The other thing about CALCOG, and we just, as I said, we just had the conference. It was regional intelligence from insight to impact. It also provides something else that we should all know about, and that is the Regional Leadership Forum, or CARL, which I never remember what CARL stands for, but I know you can tell us.
California Academy of Regional Leaders.
And the reason she knows that is because she's a graduate. But it's a great program. It's all about learning to think regionally, act regionally, and have a regional voice, which, as we know, is much louder, much more effective than a single voice. And that's why CBAG is effective, and that's why we get little, cute little trophies for doing good things for CBLink and for CBSync, and for all the other projects CBAG sees and has the vision to work regionally. So that's CalCog. You know, as you can tell, I can talk about it. I love CalCog. It's effective. And if anybody wants to go have coffee or milk and cookies later and talk about it, I'm in. So that's CalCog. And we may be asking you as cities or as organizations to send a letter to support AB 2002. And again, that's the REAP one codification. And we want that money so that we can do our work. And I think that's it. Is there anything else on CalCog that we need?
I just point out, so we try to do these updates on CalCog about once a year. Councilmember Harnick represents us at CalCog has and was just the chair as well. And was in
still
addition
at.
To this, and, oh, still on. And then in addition to this hardware, got a hardware of her own for her leadership on a statewide level. And unlike last year, did not have to figure out how to get it through TSA through the airport, which was a fun situation when we got the CV single. So,
but it was nice getting it.
So anyway, as staff, CVAC staff does provide some support for these regional efforts as well, and happy to address any questions.
Any questions on it at all?
I have a question.
Yes.
So there are a number of cities, including Indian Wells, that would love to, or that are advocating a sharing of RENA credits with neighboring cities. Cities which are landlocked, cities which are, I'll call them affluent for lack of a better word, but which could really help unlock building affordable housing, student housing, veterans housing in neighboring cities. And there is a movement in Sacramento supported by our local legislators to try and create a test scenario in the Coachella Valley that then could be later spilled out. You know, cities like Atherton that have Redwood City next to them, or Manhattan Beach, et cetera. These cities all would love to be able to share RENA credits. Is CalCog a place to have that discussion, or should it be left up in Sacramento?
Okay, so SCAG is part of that discussion also, and there is some ledge out there that allows at the beginning of a RENA cycle for a couple of cities to come together and create their own entity for RENA allocation. That can be done, but I hear what you're saying. It's a little different spin on that. It's, I think, a great idea. I think it would be very helpful to many of us. And using Palm Desert and Indian Wells is a perfect example. Indian Wells has very little land. We have good land that, and we want the housing. We being Palm Desert want the housing there as well as student housing on the CSU. So it's something I if you'll send me an email with
yep.
the bullet points, we have a meeting on Friday and I'm happy to bring that up because
thanks.
I know there are a lot of cities that would benefit by that.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Can you touch in more detail what the trophy was for?
This one? I thought you wanted to know about mine.
You can tell us about yours too. We all know you're wonderful.
This is for CV Link for working, and what these are called is they're the Eureka Awards. It's a word for regional excellence. And anytime that CalCog identifies a group of whatever those entities are, cities, COGs, whatever it might be, that come together and create a solution to a regional issue, they are eligible for a Eureka Award. So CV Link is something actually Tom and I presented to CalCog 2013 with the concept of CV Link. And it was well received. And it here, this is the name of their conference was WTF, which stands for Where's the Funding?
Yeah.
So that's, but anytime there is a regional effort, and there were some wonderful awards given out, one for distribution of food, taking it on with 1383 being somewhat onerous. They took it on in really a great way, and it was in San Bernardino County, and they did a great job of making sure that the food was distributed well rather than any waste. And they looked at 1383 rather than onerous but they looked at it like opportunity. So we saw a lot of those throughout the state, where I think there were 6 or 7 Eureka Awards this year. And so last year it was for CV Sync when I got pulled to the side in TSA and they went through my stuff because of it. And by the way, Tom had it. He said, hey, would you take this back with you?
Yeah.
So
you can have room. You can have room.
So anyway,
sure.
But every time we do something regionally, our solution is always better. And let's keep getting these awards.
Right.
So that's it.
Good job.
All right, so we'll move on because I know we all have lots to do. So let's go to, are we on the on-call traffic signal services and maintenance for CV Sync Network? Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Hardick and all the committee members. Mark Lancaster. I am the Assistant Director of Transportation for CVAG. And before I get started with this item, I just want to compliment Supervisor Perez on that stunning jacket. Well done. Dodgers, exactly. So good morning again. I'm coming. What do you do?
The same time you did.
All right, sorry. I'll go back. Sorry, I thought you had it queued up, Nathan. My apologies. Okay, I come to you this morning with the request to allow the executive director to enter into agreements with 3 contractors for service repair and maintenance services for the CV Sync program. Up on the screen is CV Sync Phase 1, which was along 3 corridors and was completed in June of 2024. CV Sync Phase 2 added 18 more corridors, and we are in the integration and testing portion of that project and hope to have that or scheduled to have that done in early June, about 2 months from now. So CV Sync Phase 1, there was 139 intersections included with that project. CV Sync Phase 2 will bring in another 470-ish intersections. I don't have the exact count, but altogether we'll have 505 intersections covered under the CV Sync Phase 1 and Phase 2 programs. And the corridors that you see up on the map are where those intersections lie. And then we also have our established RTMC at the City of Rancho Mirage's corporate yard, which has turned out to be a really nice place to be, but also a very key location so we could get to both ends of all of the whole corridors very quickly. So intersections that are part of the Phase 2 project will be under warranty for 1 year after acceptance, which again is hopefully going to be in a couple of months. Any issues that arise, our current contractor, Crosstown Electrical and Data, will be doing work on either repairing or adjusting the system where it's malfunctioning or it has failed. Things like if a cabinet gets hit on the roadside by an errant vehicle, that will be part of this repair and maintenance contract. So very much like I think most of the cities in the valley, their protocol, staff is recommending that a on-service, on-call bench of 3 contractors be established so that repairs can be done easily and quickly. And we want more than 1 contractor so that if 1 contractor is not available, then we can move on to another one and get the repair done as quickly as possible. The number of and type of maintenance callouts is going to be really, it's going to vary from year to year. And we're not sure exactly how many to expect this first year, but we're giving it the best guess we've got based on the way the Phase 1 project has performed. So on January 30th of this year, CVAG issued a request for proposals for on-call traffic signal repair services and maintenance. 4 firms responded to the RFP. Bear Electrical Service Solutions, LLC, Crosstown Electrical and Data, St. Francis Electric, and Unix Traffic. The evaluation committee comprised of both CVAG staff and a staff member from the City of Portland did the proposals, and came up with the scoring. All four firms were qualified with the type of work that was identified to be done, including video detection systems, work on video detection systems, closed circuit television, traffic corridor cabinets, remote sensing units that are on the signal poles, fiber optic cabling, and switches, as well as other traffic signal equipment. The evaluation committee unanimously agreed on the ranking of the vendors and is recommending entering into on-call agreements with Crosstown Electrical and Data, St. Francis, and UNIC, which were the three top-ranking firms. All three contractors will be initially addressing issues with phase one intersections. However, Crosstown will not be engaged on any work with whatever happens within the phase two corridors until the warranty period is expired, which is a year after acceptance. So sometime in probably June of 2027. So we'll primarily have Crosstown work on issues with phase one and have St. Francis and UNIX work on issues with the phase two corridors. So staff is recommending the creation of, just to kind of let you know what some of the things we've encountered already. Had broken conduit lines, that orange cable in that conduit is the CV sync fiber optic cable. And so sometimes contractors, even though things are marked out, they're, you know, get a little loose with some of their excavation and sometimes hit a variety of utilities, but the only one we're worried about, of course, is the CV sync conduits. There are also technology upgrades. If we get a new type of camera to replace or video detection system to replace something that is either outdated or not supported with software, those can be also done under this service agreement. And then, of course, field repairs. And that can be a variety of things. If a switch fails and there are multiple kinds of equipment, I think 15,000 pieces of different pieces of equipment that all need to work together and integrate for the CVC system to work. It's not that if one is knocked out, everything goes out, but it will cause a problem in a section that we'll need to address. So the recommended action is authorize the chair and have the chair and the executive director execute on-call service agreements for the CVSync traffic signal repair and maintenance with Crosstown Electrical and Data Incorporated, St. Francis Electric LLC, and UNIX Traffic LLC for a combined not to exceed total of $300,000 annually for 2 years. That'll take us through June of 2028. During that period, we can evaluate how many repairs have been done. Have we guessed too high? Have we guessed too low? And we could come back within that 2 year period for recommendation on future service agreements for maintenance and repair. That is my presentation this morning. Be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, please.
Well, thank you. I have a couple of questions and a well comment. First of all, quick question. I presume this will be for weekend emergency work as well.
Yes, it will.
Call out. Yeah. So there will be repairs on weekends.
There is emergency call out and 24-hour provisions in the agreements that we propose to have executed.
Yes. Okay. And I'm sure you've already had this, but I presume that is there a CBAG contact call on the weekends, or will our individual city engineers or staff be able to contact these vendors for emergency repairs? How will that work?
Should go through us so that we can issue a task order so these people can know what the scope of their repair is.
And how will that work on a weekend?
On a weekend, we will make ourselves available.
Is there an on-call person? Is there a...
We will have, I think most of the public works directors, city engineers have our contact number. It would be mine and Chris Gunterson's primarily. And as long as they call it, and if they don't, I will be happy to provide it, so that if things do arise, we can address them immediately.
All right, thank you. I just want to make sure, because sometimes when these big intersections go out on a Saturday or a Friday, waiting till Monday is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that process that,
yes,
however it is, we need to interject with that. Second of all, if you can do this for $300,000 a year, that may be the best bargain
yes,
you have ever had.
Theoretically, it's all new. So we shouldn't have it, but like I said, it's 15,000 different components. So it, things can go. It's all electrical, so there's a bit of
that looked like new conduit to me that you showed us with the orange.
Yes.
That's a good price for 300,000, I believe. But finally, and this is a question that's related, but a little different. If you can't answer that, that's fine. It's just a question. As we all know, you know, you're in a light, it turns green, and the green arrow comes on first, generally, in both sides, so you get to turn. All of a sudden, it seems like only one side turns and green goes, and the other side has to wait. Is that a policy change? Is that something am I imagining, or is there a policy change here? Or
so that all has to do with signal phasing. Some cities like to have the left hand turns first, exactly as you indicated. If there is a left hand movement, say going eastbound, that's heavier than westbound, they may have that eastbound go first and have the westbound what they call trail, or have that at the end of the signal cycle. So you have the left turns, the through moves.
So it's individual cities making the choices, and you're programming it as such?
Yes.
I think it's part of the timing, how they coordinate the signals. There's what they call a lead or a lag, whether you go turn left before or after the through traffic goes. So when they go through and coordinate each signal, they do their offsets and they do their timing, and sometimes it works better. You can get more cars through if you have them wait to the end, or if you have them do it.
So do we think that we're convinced of that? And I only say that sort of rhetorical, because a lot of complaints we're getting, like, okay, we're sitting here stopped. There's no cars queued up to turn, and they can't go, we can't go, and we're just all sitting there. So I guess over time, I suppose, surveys, complaints, we're going to get a better feel. But I think that's going to be an emerge. That's a real emerging issue that I'm not sure how to handle it. But at some point we have to, well, does it really make it better to do that? And I'm not entirely convinced yet. So,
you know, we do have data. So we have the initial surveys that were done to do the initial timing, but our system keeps the data. So we can go back and look how well it's functioning, and then we can make adjustments. So if there's a question about it, we can go back and look on last week at this time. Here's the data, and then we can make changes.
Okay, because we're in Pulse, we're going to be having some discussion items on it at council. And so I may be taking you up on that.
And maybe if I could just add, I think this is something we've heard from some of your city staffs as well. And I know that Tom has asked the CV Sync team to take a special look at some of the left turns. Right now, I will admit, it's a very busy time for our CV Sync team, as Coachella and Stagecoach is taking up a lot of staff time. But this is one of the priority items that we've asked the team to look at. So as John mentioned, we will be looking at some of this data and certain intersections to make sure that we are addressing particularly the left turn issue.
Thank you.
Are these, excuse me, if I may?
Go, please.
Are these, because everybody, right, something new and it doesn't work exactly like it did before, so pants on fire sometimes is a reaction. But it feels, are these decisions made in real time? Because I get similar complaints, not just about the left, but, you know, it's like, gosh, I'm standing and it's stacking up, and people are running red lights. Well, they've always run red lights, but it's just that they seem to be running more red lights than usual. Because there's a longer stack time. And so somebody made the comment that, well, you know, but things are made in real time. And I'm thinking, except for the tennis tournament or just except for certain large functions, I'm not thinking it's made in real time. It's based on data that you use. And then how frequently is that data reviewed and updated?
And that data is, we are reviewing that data with the city of Indio. There's a few intersections in Palm Springs, a few corridors that we're reviewing that with. And you could set these intersection phasing for 110 seconds or just under 2 minutes, up to about 150 seconds. It really depends on the volume, the turning movements that we have data for, as Jonathan indicated. So we're working with all the cities to kind of figure out what is the optimum timing per intersection on any given corridor. All of those have to be approved by a city traffic engineer, someone that's licensed to approve these things. So we can't just go kind of willy-nilly and just start changing things out without the city's, the jurisdiction's approval.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you.
Yes, please.
So this contract is for on-call only,
right? So
yes.
If something goes wrong, somebody gets reported and you do a tap order and they go repaired.
Right.
Is there also preventative maintenance? Is that a different contract? Or
you can do preventative maintenance work on this. And the biggest need that I see moving forward is some of the controller cabinets actually have air conditioning units inside them. And just to keep them cool because of the summer heat and just the conditions here in the valley. And there's filters, air conditioning filters. Those are probably the things that need to be changed out most often because those cabinets are pretty expensive and they contain all of the equipment that controls that intersection. So we want to make sure that we do have that. So we can, especially if we have the capacity to have preventive maintenance done as well.
Okay. Yeah, because I agree. It seems kind of cheap. Does this, I mean, less expensive than one would anticipate, although it's hard. You're saying 505 intersections. And I suppose you work that out with the city so they know when something goes wrong, they're not to call the city on-call person or the city public works to
come in. It kind of depends. If there's like a light out on one of the traffic signals, that is a city's responsibility. We do not own the light. But if it's something like the sensing units or video detection or like the phasing or like a piece of equipment is struck out in the field, that will most likely be CDAC's responsibility.
All right. Yeah, I can see there being some coordination
there
issues
is.
Here.
Absolutely.
You know, and the cities will have to be like, oh, this is, I mean, it would seem like they would know, but even down to the staff level, oh, this is a CV sync intersection versus this is the one a block over that's not on the CV sync thoroughfare, that now this is ours. So hopefully you're working that out.
We are. And I will tell you, I think every city, like public works director, city engineers, I know John Corella and Armando, they know who to contact. I can't think of any city that doesn't have someone there that knows to contact us.
Okay. But sometimes they're not available too, so that's why it really needs to get down to, and it's not your responsibility, but hopefully you're going to urge them to get it down to the
in most cities, they've already done that.
So,
yes.
All right, good. So another question. So this includes just the labor only, or this includes also any necessary parts?
Okay, and it really kind of depends on the parts. So I think it was last month in the executive committee, they approved spare equipment purchases. So we're going to make those equipment purchases so that we don't have what's called the contractor's markup. You know, we're going to provide that if a camera needs to be replaced. We'll provide that. They provide the bucket truck and the staff laborers to go up and fix those things. So it is a bit of a mix depending on exactly what we're talking about. But for the most part, CVEC is going to have the spare equipment, give it to the contractor when the need to repair something.
And so with three contractors, you worked out some type of access and inventory control, or will be doing that? Because it's just the way of the world. If you have a pile of equipment there and you have three companies with a variety of employees access to this equipment, you would need to really be able to keep track of what's going in and out and where it got used and return the old part, that kind of stuff, or you may lose your markup savings, you know, and lost inventories.
Right. And that's a very good point. So yes, we CBank has implemented what's called Enterprise Asset Management System, where we are loading all of our assets. We've already loaded everything from phase one, every cabinet, controller, video camera, all of that into the system. And so the spare parts will also be, they're loaded in our asset management system for use, and it will be tracked as things get used.
All right.
As equipment gets replaced.
All right, good. Well, I mean, from the city viewpoint, it's great that some of the maintenance or the maintenance on these, you know, these arterials will go to CVAG. It's going to take some work. It seems like you realize that to make sure that the system runs smoothly, especially if you have cities responsible for something, CPAC's responsible for others. So,
coordination is going to be key. You're absolutely right.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
And we're still learning. I mean, this is a new system. This is new for the region. This is new to the state. I mean, we're very much learning as we go. We may very well be back after a year and say we underestimated. But during especially this first year, we do have a number of signals under warranty. We intend to hold our contractor accountable for that. And we're taking our best guess on and educated estimates on where we need to be.
And to your point of, about communication, we're in constant communication with the cities, continue to have TISMO group and everything else. So we'll continue to tap into that and refine our approach as we go along.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none.
Is the city will move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Joey?
Yes.
Okay, all in, any opposed or any abstentions? Motion carries. Okay, we will now go to 5C, Amendment to the Reimbursement Agreement for the South Palm Canyon Drive Bridge Replacement Project over Topwitz Creek. That's a shocker.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Julie Mignona. I'm a transportation program manager at CBAG, and today we are here requesting approval of amendment number 2 to the reimbursement agreement for the South Palm Canyon Bridge Replacement Project. The project location, it will replace the existing bridge over Topwitz Creek to ensure long-term structural integrity and public safety. Here you can see the location. It's right up against the CV Link as well. In Palm Springs. Construction began in August 2024 and is currently underway. So this action increases CVAG's regional funding contribution by $1.26 million. For a total of approximately $2.13 million. And CVAG has partnered with Palm Springs on this project since 2014, supporting the planning and design phases through the original reimbursement agreement and amendment number 1. The need for additional funding is due to higher than anticipated preliminary engineering and permitting costs, right-of-way redesign and coordination efforts, and added construction requirements such as cultural monitoring and increased bid prices reflected in the awarded construction contract. You can see the total project cost is approximately $17.35 million with significant federal and partner funding secured by the City of Palm Springs from FHWA, Desert Water Agency, Southern California Gas, and the City of Palm Springs. This amendment will ensure sufficient funding is in place to complete construction and avoid any delays. So staff recommends approval to advance this critical infrastructure project currently under construction and will enhance safety and regional resiliency. Read the whole recommendation. I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
Hey, are there any questions?
I'll second Councilman Harris.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. So all those in favor?
Aye.
And Joey?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries. Thank you so much.
And for the next one.
And you've got one more. Amendment to the reimbursement agreement for the Monroe Street Interstate 10 interchange.
Yes,
Julie Mignona.
Budget here. Okay, today I'm also requesting approval of amendment number 8 to advance the Monroe Street I-10 interchange into construction.
Yes.
Very, very highly anticipated project. This project is the number one priority in the region's transportation project prioritization study, and it is critical for reducing congestion, improving mobility, and supporting regional growth.
And making sure people don't hurt each other trying to get home.
CBAG has partnered on this project since 2007, and this action represents the transition from planning into construction. So it will increase CBAG's regional funding commitment by $56.5 million for a total of $68.6 million. Here you can see all of the previous agreements and amendments to date. And the project is on track to advertise in August 2026 and begin construction in the beginning of 2027. The total project cost is approximately $181 million, just a little bit higher than the last project's budget, with significant state and federal funding already secured. The regional funding strategy includes our standard 75% CVAG share and 25% local share. And this will be allocated based on proportional use, just like the Jefferson Interchange project was. A proportionate cost share study is currently underway to finalize each jurisdiction's local funding contribution. This is the draft moment. And funding needs to be secured now to maintain the schedule and proceed to bid without any delay. Okay, so staff recommends approval to ensure timely delivery of this critical regional infrastructure project.
Any questions or comments?
I have a question, if I could.
Please.
I saw that amendment number 7 included a time extension to December, and this is supposed to start in January. So should we include a time extension to January also in this amendment?
It's to start the construction process. So awarding bids is part of that. That's kind of that trigger to
okay.
construction, not necessarily a shovel in the ground.
Right. So it just caught my eye because it talked about construction beginning by December and then by January. I thought this would be easy to slip it in if you need the extra months.
Any other questions or comments?
No, but I'll make a motion to approve.
I knew you would.
Uh-huh. I have a question. There's a...
We'll have a second. I'll second it for discussion.
Thank you. So they have a there's like a what $26 million difference, and is that $26 million shared among all the principals who are investing, or is that a CVAG number? The original amount was $56,531,000 for construction. Are we looking at just approving something that's already been approved, or are we looking at an increase in the total amount of expenses on the project?
The 56.
Yeah.
It is the current estimated budget. So,
right. And is that an increase over the last one? That's the piece I'm missing. Sorry.
It's constantly increasing, and that's still an estimate. So, probably over the last time, they're still finalizing they've got the final plans, but until it goes to bid, that's still an estimated number. I'd say it's about the same.
Then it's going to direct transportation at County Riverside. I can come up real quick. Yes, yeah, so that number is the current estimate. So we're hoping by August, September, the summer this year, we'd get the bids in and we could finalize that number. But it is an increase based from the last amendment change, I would say.
Yeah,
with the construction costs rising. So we're hoping to get out there, and some of the bids are coming in a little bit better. So we're hoping to get out there as soon as we can. So as soon as we get the right-of-way cert approved, hopefully this month, we'll be on our way to...
Any other questions?
Sir? Any other questions?
Yeah, can you just send a note to us just articulating the increase?
Sure.
I'm sure you don't have it off the top of your head. Like
sure.
That. Thank
we'll
you.
We'll get what the last one was when we presented to the current one.
Thank
it's
you.
Always fine-tuning as they're That's finalizing
right.
those plans.
Any other
questions?
Yeah.
Every time we talk about Monroe, it increases. And it is the perfect illustration of when we don't move in it. On a project as quickly as possible, we're just going to watch it get more and more expensive. And boy, if Monroe didn't teach us that lesson, nothing's going to. So, these are the kind of thing, it's he who hesitates is lost, and we got to put this all on fast forward and get it done. So hopefully we can find more ways to remove barriers and obstacles to having these projects completed so that we don't continue to pay more and more and so thank you very much. So now we do have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
There, Joey?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Is there any opposition? Any abstention? Motion carries. Okay, so we have the information. Are there any questions on information? And are there any public comments on non-agenda items?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
I have a couple of things I'd like to talk about.
Okay. Please.
Okay. So one would be the City of Indian Wells is open to looking at CV Link. the current climate among council members is interesting in exploring the possibility. So we've reached out to Tom about creating a meeting to talk about where, how much, when. There have been we have a number of ideas. I'm sure CVAG does as well. And being that this is an election year and our predecessors have put through a motion that requires a vote, we're prepared to take on that challenge if necessary.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of people happy.
Thank you. So we are we're going to look at this seriously, and I would encourage Tom, who I guess hasn't been feeling well, so to coordinate with our city manager meeting as soon as possible. And then secondly,
Can I just take a moment and pause and say, yay. Okay, go ahead.
And then the second thing is, have we done any studies? Maybe Jonathan, that would be you, I don't know, but or maybe our friend from Riverside Transportation on the impact of the increase in the price of gas and revenue coming into the RCTC or CVAG as part of taxation. Is that going to increase or decrease our revenue projections this year?
That's not something that I've dug into in detail yet.
It's not going to change.
RCTC usually gets into that. RCTC usually gets into that.
That's correct.
Provides this prospect analysis of what's going on.
Would love to take a look at it.
Or maybe even send an email now, heads up. I don't know if they have time to do it.
Yeah.
And usually they analyze that when it comes in, which is some months later. And you realize it doesn't change the gas tax, it only changes the sales tax. So,
understood.
So, yes.
But that could be significant.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Because some people think because the price of gas went up, there's more gas tax. I'm like, well, no, just the sales tax.
The
65 cents.
Yeah, the gas tax is one price. The end. So it's.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you. Thank you for the recommendation.
Okay.
And we don't get SB1 money directly at CVAC. So that's a little bit out of our purview.
Goes to our cities.
That goes to the cities. You might remember that from some of John's cash flow analysis. We didn't get that benefit that others got.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Nature called and Mr. Bolts. Can I so?
Would you please?
Both the C and D as an I.
Okay. Did you get the supervisor's votes?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. I see no unfinished business. So this meeting stands adjourned. You have your announcement when our next meeting is. And executive committee as well.
See you on the 4th.
Thank you.
Had a nice chat. Wonderful about CBG.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.